Wisconsin I is in La Crosse, the 2015 Republican State Convention. We've asked Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald to take a few minutes. Senator, thanks for talking to us.
You bet. Glad you're here.
As a former co-chairman of finance, let me ask you about the budget.
Sure.
It strikes me that you legislators are changing more of what the governor recommended in February than perhaps some other budgets. The DNR board, the DAT cap board, the UW autonomy, the authority, family care, IRIS. So are you guys having to do some major, more rearranging than in other budgets, sir?
Yeah, well, I think the difference is that certainly revenue drives some of those decisions. And as a result of, you know, having a little bit clearer picture of where we're at now compared to where the governor was in February, that I think certainly that's why the Finance Committee has kind of addressed some of those issues. And then there were some changes, I think, that the governor made in his budget that, quite honestly, the legislature just kind of took a look at. We went back to the governor, said, either we're not there as far as a significant shift in the design of, for the most part, the design of government.
Okay.
And they've been very flexible, though. They said, that's fine. You know, some of this stuff we thought might make a little bit more sense when you're talking about, you know, how many dollars could it save? And we have a little bit better snapshot of that, I think, than the governor did back in February.
You don't have very much spending room for error now that the Fiscal Bureau has said there won't be any major new money by mid-2017. You've got to kind of go back to the spending drawing board, don't you, sir?
Yeah, I think the big three still remain kind of dominating the landscape when it comes to this state budget. And certainly it's K-12 education, it's transportation, and the UW system. So not much has changed in that regard. But I think the way we address those, you know, it's pretty clear where the legislature is in their priorities. And it's still going to be K-12 education. We want to make sure that we fully fund K-12 and take care of specifically that first year,
yes,
of the biennium.
Right.
And then if there is some way of increasing that per pupil amount in the second year, we'll probably go there as well. Transportation is tricky. We don't have a 10-year solution. We are looking for a 2-year solution here. And as a result of that, I think, you know, again, we'll have to work with Governor Walker to see just exactly what he's comfortable signing. But there's some other kind of ideas out there on the table, and, you know, we'll know where we're at very soon.
Let's come back to transportation. One of the first things that Co-Chairman John Nygren said to the Secretary is, what would happen if bonding was only $800 million over the next 2 years? Is that a target for your caucus, sir?
Well, there's a lot of people uncomfortable with the $1.3 billion in bonding, but, you know, if you get to the point where you're questioning whether or not that is too much and you don't have other cash solutions, you're going to have to either delay projects or take a look at some other type of significant change to the transportation budget. So I think it's probably a mixed bag. I think the caucus is looking for some solutions that that the governor will support, and that dialogue is happening right now. You know, what will the governor sign into law? If he's not going to sign some of those revenue increases, whether it's a vehicle registration or a driver's license increase, mm-hmm, which some people consider, some members of the caucus consider pretty low right now, then it's not worth doing. If the governor says, yeah, there are a few things I think we can do, then you'll probably see the caucus rally around those items.
Well, the governor and yourself have both said, read our lips, no gas tax increase. So that's off the table.
Yeah, it is.
But yep, if we take our $75 vehicle registration fee, which hasn't been increased since 2008, and we took it up by a third, though, $25, that would raise $116 million a year, and you could dial bonding back by that. Are there members of your caucus interested in going up $15, $20, $25 in that fee?
Yeah, there definitely are members that would support that concept. There's also kind of a faction that says, well, now you're only asking Wisconsin residents to pay that increase versus something that would be distributed over anyone visiting the state. So, I mean, it's the same kind of debate that happens in and around each transportation budget. But we got to coalesce around something. And I think that's why it's going to be important to see what the governor actually will sign into law.
Another issue that doesn't appear to be resolved, in fact, it seems to be a long way from being resolved, state contribution for a new Milwaukee Bucks arena.
Yeah.
Now, there was another meeting last week. There's a story that there's a new potential way of financing that. That seems to me, Senator, like an issue with about 1,000 moving parts. How much the city contributes, how much the state. Can you give us a update on those talks?
Yeah, it has developed. I mean, you know, what was early on the governor's plan?
220 with the jock tax.
Right, which kind of was met with a lot of resistance, I think, because the level of borrowing. We made our way into the Board of Commissioners of Public Lands as maybe a place that we could utilize some of the resources they have to get this deal done. And that's still part of any type of plan that's out there.
Right.
And then we had a county exec, Chris Abley, who I think was looking for some other angles to maybe even clean up some of the stuff that was going on within Milwaukee County from a governor, from the governor's perspective, stuff that they had had hanging out there for a while. So a mix between the governor, the county exec, and then obviously Mayor Barrett, who was pretty coy early on, but has come a long way in trying to get this done. So I think you're right. There are a lot of moving parts, and we don't have full resolve yet. I don't have something I can present to the caucus, so we're still kind of we're working on it. But I'm still very much in favor of trying to get something done there. I think it's important for the city. I think the development in and around a new arena would be critical for the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. So I'm still fully pushing the caucus to consider each and every option. And at some point, hope to have something we can present to the full caucus to see where the support is.
At this point in the talks, have Mayor Barrett and County Executive Abley offered what you think would be enough matching money to get to a final deal, sir?
It's not playing out that way. It's more of a mix of, you know, because obviously both entities rely heavily on state government. When you're talking about shared revenue or the 0.5% sales tax that certainly Milwaukee County gets and that the city has, there's a relationship that's there that's going to be there forever. And it's a give and take on revenue streams. So it's not exactly like somebody who goes out and starts negotiating on a brand new automobile where you have no relationship with the salesperson. There's always going to be give and take, and as a result of that, I think we'll come up with some type of compromise that satisfies everyone.
Do you like the idea that was floated last week by Representative Coinga and Senator Darling, where Chris Abley would get eventual control or jurisdiction over 5 MPS failing schools, sir?
What I do like is the idea that we're having a discussion about MPS again. I think as we talk about other different pieces of the education puzzle right now, including school choice and the statewide expansion, testing that's going on within the public schools, and certainly you know, early on the debate about Common Core, MPS has to be part of that. And any new ideas or fresh ideas, I think, should always be welcome. I don't know if there's enough support for the county exec to have that much control over Milwaukee Public Schools, but I like the idea that we're having a discussion and trying to change the dynamics of what is status quo, because that's not acceptable. And you know, you'll find some people in Milwaukee that think there are some strides being made, but in the Wisconsin legislature, I think you'd find people saying, we need more. We need more change. We need more progress. We need something that's measurable, and we need to get MPS moving again.
With money so short, are you going to be able to go along with the governor's recommendation to remove the 1,000 slot limit on choice schools statewide, or will you only be able to remove it partially, but just because of funding considerations, sir?
No, my goal is to definitely continue to push choice statewide. I think it is something that should be available to parents who find themselves in a difficult situation. The thing you have to put in perspective for everyone is that even with the expansion, it's going to be less than 1% of all children in school in Wisconsin. It's a small, small, tiny percentage of children that are directly affected. But of course, it gets front page coverage each and every time there's a change to it. So
yes.
I like to remind people of that. This is a very small program that offers a lot of options for parents out there that otherwise would be kind of shut down and unable to really have those types of things available to them.
After the Fiscal Bureau said there won't be any major new pot of money, you said that makes it harder in terms of the UW. Do you think you'll have to end up in going with the governor's cut of $300 million over 2 years, or can you buy that? Can you downsize that a little bit, or not really?
Well, one of the ideas that's come out of, I think, kind of this difficult position that we're in has been to put more money directly into student aid instead, something that would go back to the universities and probably have just as much impact as just putting more cash into the UW system. Those are the types of things we're looking for right now. If you are going to have this reduction in the overall amount of money that's available to the UW system, are there some other things outside of that that we can do to help soften the blow? And I think those things certainly are still on the table.
Senator Nass, as you know, was very upset when they raised out-of-state tuition and raised the graduate tuition.
Right.
He accused Chancellor Blank of abandoning the middle class. Are you largely satisfied with the response of the 26 campuses to the potential loss of $300 million? They're offering buyouts. Oshkosh has cut two sports teams. Are you satisfied with that?
Yeah, it's a mix. I think the best part about it is that the chancellors know what's going on. They know kind of what their campus looks like and what's available to them, and they're managing that. I think that's great. Some of the chancellors have embraced it. Others certainly have not. But it's going to be a mix, I think, statewide on how the UW responds to this challenge.
In your speech to the convention, you mentioned reforming prevailing wage. I wanted to ask you, it doesn't seem like there are the votes to repeal it, but are there the votes in your caucus to reform it, maybe go along with the Nass amendment that failed in committee, sir?
There certainly is, I think, a challenge in trying to get everybody on the same page. This is a situation where it is exactly the way it's described, herding cats, because there's a million different ideas on prevailing wage, everything from full repeal to changing the formula, to increasing the threshold, to changing the region. It's very complex, and it's an industry in Wisconsin that is going to be directly affected. So we're working on it. I'm talking to members each and every day about it, but there's no resolve kind of as we sit here today.
The Assembly passed two bills I want to ask you about. The one, drug testing was part of the governor's budget.
Right.
Do you see that being folded into the governor's budget, drug testing to get unemployment benefits and other public benefits?
It's interesting. We have not caucused on that specific topic, so members are all over the place on it. And where should it be applied and to what type of benefit program? So I'd be unwilling to say that absolutely it's something that is going to be part of the budget.
Okay.
But certainly the Finance Committee, I know, has been working on trying to see kind of, you know, what is the temperature of the caucus on it. And we'll probably know more about that very soon as well.
And what about, is there support in your caucus for the other bill that would say with food stamps you'd have to buy two-thirds of what you buy has to be off of a certain list?
Again, it's kind of an Assembly initiative, so the Senate has not discussed it much. I know I have members probably that are all over the place and would like to see some changes. The big question on it is what will the federal government allow us to do in the state, and whether or not there is a waiver that's needed. If it's requested, would it be granted? So I think there's a lot of different pieces that are up in the air when you talk about that issue.
You've heard the Democrats say that we have a absentee governor. He's going around the nation potentially laying the groundwork to run for president. Let me ask you, has the governor been as accessible in this budget cycle as in other budget cycles, Senator?
He is to me, absolutely. I think it's great that he's out there making the case that, you know, Wisconsin can lead. What we've done here is certainly a platform for him to make the case that he could do a good job at the national level as President of the United States. I'm very excited about that. If that means that he needs to travel out of state from time to time, I'm fine with that. I think that's part of our process here. I think if not Governor Walker, then who should be able to run for president? So I have no problem with him. If I pick up my phone and call Scott Walker, he will return my call immediately. I mean, it's not an issue at all. I think it's something that's being blown way out of proportion, and I'm proud of him. I think he's doing a great job, and I'm proud of the idea that Wisconsin has become a place that he can go out there and make the case that, you know, if I'm going to run for the White House, we're going to do things like we did in Wisconsin. I think it's great for us, great for the Republican Party of Wisconsin.
And then finally, as you look to your own members who were up in 2016, I think it's fair to say that the top Democratic target will be Senator Rick Gudex. He won by 600 votes. How optimistic are you that you can hold that seat, sir?
I would say don't underestimate the Republican caucus and the committee to elect Republican Senate. We have been able to make the case time and time again, whether it was recalls or just regular cycles. We've done a great job, I think, in making sure that Wisconsinites know that this team, the committee to elect Republican Senate, is strong and making the right decisions. So I don't know who the Democrats will target, but I don't rule out the idea that we pick up another seat in this next election cycle. I really think that we can get to 20 seats in the state Senate, and I'm optimistic we're going to get there.
Oh, and I did think of one more question, if you'll excuse me. Next week on the joint finance agenda is GAB. Will a plan to restructure GAB be offered and passed by that committee, do you think?
I don't know if we're going to take it up in the finance committee yet. Okay. I mean, the big question is whether or not the top of the GAB should be reformed to eliminate the judges that are currently there in those slots, the judges' slots, I should say.
Your own position is that they should be, correct?
I think it should be. I think it should be something that would be similar to what we had prior to the GAB being formulated. The assembly is not there yet, but we're working to try and get there with them. So we'll see if it comes together before the Finance Committee takes it up. But at this point, that's kind of where we're at. We're negotiating what the GAB should look like after we make our next set of changes.
Very good. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, thanks for talking to Wisconsin.
Thank you.
Thank you.